In 2012, Washington was one of four states where the voters legalized or upheld gay marriage. Mark Solomon worked on all four of those campaigns. He's the national campaign director of the group Freedom to Marry. And he told Jeannie Yandel about the battle in this state. There were two big turning points, he says. The first happened at a Seahawks game when campaign director Zach Silk saw a sign.
He's a huge Seahawks fan, and you know, and he's a straight guy who took on this campaign, and he was very nervous because he'd heard so many times that people would go into the voting booth and they'd change their mind or they'd lie on the polls and not be honest because they knew what they were supposed to say, but in the privacy of their own home, when they were filling out the ballot, they would vote the other way. He told me that the weekend before the election, there was a Seahawks game, and he saw a bunch of our opponents out protesting, and he was like, oh my. But what he saw was the reaction of regular jersey-wearing Seahawks fans to these people who were rallying against marriage equality. And he saw so much opposition to these folks who were out trying to raise awareness for our opponents. And when he saw that Seahawks fans, so many of them, were on our side, you know, overwhelmingly, just based on watching it, it was that's when he really got viscerally, you know what, we're going to win this thing.
The other big turning point happened a little bit earlier in the campaign. What happened there?
This amazing woman named Jennifer Cast, who chaired the fundraising committee for the Washington campaign, did the thing that she needed to do, which was to reach out to her former boss, Jeff Bezos, and make a really heartfelt pitch about her own life. And as a lesbian woman, the fact that in college she contemplated suicide, even as she was a successful student at Yale University. And, you know, she just laid it all on the line and asked Mr. Bezos and Mackenzie Bezos for their support. You know, it was a 7-page email. She spent weeks on it. And then a few days later, she got back a 7-word response basically saying, you know, this is right for so many different reasons. We're in for $2.5 million. That was a huge game changer because the Washington campaign was behind on the fundraising front. And the big players, you know, had put in some money, but certainly nobody had ever given that kind of money to any of our fights for equality. And it raised the bar across the board for the major civic players in Washington and nationally for major players. And it enabled the campaign to enact the kind of plan and go on TV in the kinds of ways that it wanted to go on TV and hire the field organizers and really put in place a truly robust campaign effort.
I'm talking with Mark Solomon. He's the National Campaign Director for Freedom to Marry, which is a nonprofit that works on campaigns to legalize gay marriage in the United States. In 2012, he was involved with the Washington State campaign to legalize gay marriage here. And he's got a new book out. It's called Winning Marriage. One of the things that was significant about the election in November 2012 is that it had a really high turnout in Washington State. 81% of registered voters came out and voted during that election. How much do you think that had to do with the fact that they were voting on this significant question of whether to legalize gay marriage or not?
I think it had a huge impact. And the studies, subsequent studies post-election showed that it did have a real impact. People in King County in particular, you know, but in many of the progressive parts of the state, wanted to affirm their belief in the equality and dignity of their fellow citizens. And they wanted to come out and vote for gay people being able to marry. And we saw that in Washington. We saw it in Minnesota, where, and this is one of the most shocking statistics I've ever seen in politics, where in Minnesota, more people voted on the marriage question than voted for president. And it was on the ballot at the same time. People really felt strongly here in Washington and Minnesota and elsewhere, but you know, that on our side, that that they wanted to affirm the rights of their fellow citizens. So it is no question a motivator now for our side and for progressives to go to the ballot and cast a ballot.
So what did you learn from working on this campaign in Washington as you manage campaigns in other states? What did you take away from this campaign in 2012?
Learned that truly having a conversation with voters and with citizens about why marriage matters to gay people helps them understand who gay people are. And that was at the heart of the campaign in Washington, was to talk to regular folks who may know some gay people. You know, most people do today, but they may not have known a couple, and they may not have understood why that couple wanted to marry. And, you know, one of the things I was most proud of in all of these campaigns and in the Washington campaign was that we highlighted the stories of real people, real same-sex couples who told of the harms of not being able to marry, and then parents who talked about their kids who they wanted to see be able to marry, and, you know, really heartfelt stories, and parents who talked about the journey that they went on as parents, you know, when their kid came out to them, that they weren't sure about what being gay was all about, and then they met their kid's partner and realized that that kid should be able to marry and live a happy, fulfilled life in the same way that their other kids should be able to marry. So it was really treating the people who we were talking to, who the campaign was talking to, with respect and talking about who we were. And so much of the conversation was about people's, you know, what people were taught through their faiths. And we had to, you know, we had to recognize that, of course, most people were taught in their faith tradition that homosexuality was less than desirable, at least in the past. That's what most people grew up with in their faith traditions. But when we ask them, like, what's most important to you about your own faith tradition, they would oftentimes say, more often than not, say, it's treating people the way I want to be treated. It's some version of the golden rule. And when they saw that the tradition or what they'd been taught as kids was in conflict with what was most important to them about their own faith tradition, that's when people started to move and say, my gosh, you know what? If I'm going to be true to who I want to be, I need to vote to allow my neighbors and friends to get married.
Mark Solomon's the author of Winning Marriage. He's also the national campaign director for the group Freedom to Marry. He spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.
Good afternoon. It's 12:20. You know how when you ride the bus, all your fellow passengers are so pleasant and considerate, following all the rules and just generally behaving well? Yeah, not so much. We'll turn our attention to transit etiquette in a moment. KUOW 94.9 Seattle, news and information. Also broadcasting from Bellingham at 90.3 FM, and in Tumwater, you can hear us at 1340 AM. It's 44 degrees and mostly cloudy in Seattle with a 30% chance of showers this afternoon. Today's high, 45. Overnight, showers with a low of 37. And tomorrow, Thursday, Christmas Day, a chance of showers in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, with a high of 45. It's 12:21.
And it's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde. Men who ride the New York City subway will soon be seeing signs asking them to, quote, stop the spread. As in, stop spreading your legs so wide when you sit down, dude. You're taking up way too much space. It's part of a campaign that goes after all kinds of rude behavior on public transit. Also on the list, people who litter or play loud music. We wanted to know what's happening here, so Jeannie Yandel asked Sound Transit spokesman Bruce Gray, do men have the right to manspread here in Washington State?
No, nobody has that sort of right. And it's not a huge issue for our riders, but it is something that we hear about on our customer service lines. More than anything, folks will write us about people putting their bags or their feet up on seats, especially on Sounder. So, especially on a crowded train, seats are for butts, not feet or bags.
Aside from documenting the calls that you get on your feedback line, aside from looking at social media, what is Sound Transit doing to address that kind of behavior?
You know, we've got our own advertising campaign that's been in the works. We started out online a couple weeks ago emphasizing the idea of seat hogs, shaming seat hogs, people who take up more than their own seat with their bags or luggage. And we followed that up with a stand right, walk left campaign, especially for escalators, a little reminder for folks to stand on the right and walk on the left. coming up, we're going to have our own versions of man-spreading and keep your feet off the seats.
The New York Times also found evidence that we've, as a species, been trying to solve the problem of treating each other with basic human dignity on public transit for at least 75 years now. Will we ever get there?
I think we've got a lot of hope, especially out here in the Northwest, where folks have almost as good of manners as folks from the Midwest.
Yes, but not quite, because in the Midwest, you wouldn't see this.
I was on the bus from West Seattle recently and was shocked to see a man trimming his toenails. He had very carefully taken off his shoes and was explaining to upset riders that he had been hiking over the weekend and had terrible ingrown toenails, and they just had to be dealt with right then. That's the worst I've seen, but I've also seen folks that trim their fingernails on the bus. I just think that's something that you shouldn't be doing anywhere around other people.
That's one of our listeners sharing her public transit experience. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.